Hello and welcome to our site. It's a long time since I preached from a parable, and so we're going to look at the parable of the sower now. Have your Bible handy and please turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke and the 8th chapter. Luke chapter 8 and reading from verse 1, the parable of the sower. After this, Jesus travelled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus, from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he had said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant, and he said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Just so far, and may God bless his word to us as we consider this story. Scholars have said that Jesus probably taught in parables to such an extent that they are probably around a third of his recorded teachings. The master of all teachers frequently got men and women thinking by using picture language. He taught the principles of life by placing them in real-life situations. Jesus loved vigorous figures of speech, so he taught by using comparisons, analogies, proverbs, and riddles. The word parable is a Greek word which literally means a throwing alongside. One thing is placed alongside another for the purpose of comparison. Nearly all Jesus' parables are comparisons which assume the form of a story. It has been said that all the world loves a story. Certainly all the world remembers Jesus' parables more than anything else that he taught. They dramatize basic Christianity in pictures we can never forget. Now, it's impossible to lay down strict rules for the interpretation of parables, for the amount of comparison varies from one parable to another. In the parable of the sower, which we've just read together, you almost have pure allegory. That is, nearly every detail of the story has a meaning. But not so parables like the prodigal son or the good Samaritan and several others, where most of the details of the parable are just to add color to the story. Through the centuries, Christians have come up with the most weird and wonderful interpretations of parables by treating all the parables Jesus told as allegories, where every detail of the story has been given some inner meaning. The first rule interpreting the parables of Jesus is to find out the central truth that the parable sets forth. Always ask, what is the main lesson of this story that Jesus is telling? And then try to summarize it in two or three words. The second rule is to study the context of the parable, for the circumstances of its origin are often the key to understanding its meaning. For example, the parable of the two debtors at the end of the previous chapter, in chapter 7, where Jesus is in the house of Simon the Pharisee, and a sinful woman comes in, weeping, and dries the wet feet of Jesus with her hair. That is the context of the parable of the two debtors. So, unless we see the circumstance, the setting, the context, we can easily misinterpret the parable, or at least its main meaning. The parable of the sower was told early on in Jesus' ministry. He had begun to teach the people, and his teaching was meeting with all kinds of response. The religionists were beginning already to get upset with some of it, while the common people loved it. His disciples and all who would follow him needed to know that listening to the gospel of the kingdom of God, hearing the word of God, is a very serious business. Mark's first word of the story is, listen. The story concludes with the same commanding word, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Take heed, or be careful how you hear, is the keynote of the parable. When it comes to the word of God, listen carefully, pay attention. Your life, your future, your effectiveness, and your eternity depend on it. We often give the impression that all the responsibility rests with the evangelist, or the teacher, or the speaker. Jesus is pointing out here that a person's life, a person's eternity, depends on the way he hears the message, and therefore responds to it. Excuse me. The crucial factor is the listener's response. So let's look at the setting or context of this particular parable, the parable of the sower. Our Lord was at the Sea of Galilee near Capernaum. A huge crowd had gathered to hear him. There may well have been a farmer scattering his seed in his field on the hillside. But even if not, the sight was a very familiar one. Jesus caught the attention of his hearers by a parable. A sower went out into his field to scatter his seed abroad, and as he did so, some seed fell on different kinds of ground. In fact, all the seed fell on four different kinds of ground. First, there was the wayside ground. In Palestine, the land was divided up into small plots. Often there were no fences or walls separating the plots, only narrow paths that were accessible to everybody. Seeds dropped on these hard walkways had little chance for growth because the soil was too hard. Also, they could be stamped on by somebody's big sandals. Not only that, they were easily visible to the ever-watchful eye of peckish little birds. Some seeds fell on rocky ground. Now, this was not ground full of rocks, so much as ground that was shallow, owing to an underlying ledge of rock. It had no depth, in other words. The seed sown in this ground would spring up quickly enough, but the tender wheat plants would soon be scorched by the sun in the shallow, dried-out ground and die. Some seeds fell on thorny ground. That is ground where weeds had also gone to seed and been buried underneath the soil. In fact, often those days, ploughing followed sowing. First the seed was broadcast on the land, then it was ploughed in. The weeds came up with a good seed, and as you know, the weeds always seem to grow faster and bigger and better than your plants. Once tares grew up with wheat, it was virtually impossible to separate the two without damaging the wheat crop. Thorn bushes simply choked the little wheat plants, the seed that was sown onto rocky ground. Most of the farmer's seed, however, fell on good ground. The soil was soft and fertile and clean, and it had enough depth to allow the roots to go down and the shoots to go up into the sunlight rays, with a prospect of a wonderful yield at harvest time. The meaning of the parable was deliberately veiled from the proud and self-righteous religionists in the crowd, but Jesus revealed it to his disciples. Jesus is the sower, and he was scattering the good seed of the word of God, just as his disciples would soon be doing, just as every Christian is sent into the world to do. Everyone knows how important seed is. Life is impossible without seed. Likewise, apart from the word of God, new life is impossible. Every follower of Jesus is given the task of sowing the seed of the gospel. Peter reminds us that we are born again not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. 1 Peter 1:23. James says, God chose to give us new birth through the word of truth. James 1:18. The Apostle Paul says, the gospel is the power of God leading to salvation to all who believe. Romans 1:16. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. The pure seed of the Christian gospel, when received in good soil, always produces a good harvest. So here is a parable that Jesus himself interprets for us, and his interpretation hinges on the four types of soil, which represent four conditions of the human heart. That's the point. The four types of soil represent four different conditions of the human heart. Listen carefully to see which type of soil represents you. First of all, in Luke 4:12, Jesus deals with the pathway hearers. The pathway is so hard that the seed cannot possibly enter it. Some people who hear the gospel of the kingdom are like this. The message is wasted on them, quite frankly. The finest preaching in all the world won't achieve anything. Their hearts and minds have become hardened. Though they come under the sound of the gospel, they don't take it in, because their minds are wandering somewhere else. They are preoccupied with their own thoughts and plans, and they have no intention of accepting anything that may demand a radical change in their lives. Sometimes they can be religious people, very religious, like the Pharisees. Sometimes they may be irreligious. The common denominator of those represented by the pathway is that their minds are closed to the life-changing message of Jesus. The devil sees to it. And when they come under the sound of the gospel, the evil one takes the seed away, makes sure it has no chance of getting into their lives. The Apostle Paul points out that our gospel is veiled to those who are perishing. The god of this age, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers, he says, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4. Jesus quotes the prophet Isaiah, seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear. Isaiah 6:9. It's a sad fact that the human heart can become like a hardened pathway by persistently choosing self rather than Christ. A heart once tender and responsive can eventually become unyielding and insensitive to the gospel. Don't let it happen to you. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart, the Bible says. Secondly, who are the rocky ground hearers? Some of the seed fell into soil that was far too shallow. It was hiding a rocky ledge just under the surface. Though the seed germinated, the soil didn't have enough depth to sustain it. Some people who hear the gospel are like that. They accept the gospel enthusiastically, but their faith and commitment are only skin deep. As soon as they're tested, they lay aside the commitment that they so quickly made. Jesus saw many shallow ground hearers. They followed him impulsively, by the thousands at the beginning of his ministry. At times they almost ran over him to get to him, but their commitment was based on feeling and emotion, by what they could get out of it in terms of food or healing. As soon as Jesus clarified the cost of discipleship and the suffering involved, the sacrifice and stringent demands of obedience, they fell away. In fact, so great was the number of shallow ground hearers that fell away that Jesus said to the 12 on one occasion, "Will you also go away?" And Simon Peter answered, "To whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life." Cities and towns are full of those who accepted Christ before they thought things through, weighed up the cost. It's not easy to be a Christian in this world. It's so easy to start, but what's the use of starting if you do not finish? One thing you can be sure of, if you decide to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, your faith will be tested. There'll be times when life is very difficult, and only those whose faith is genuine will stand the test and endure to the end and be saved. Thirdly, what about the thorny ground hearers? This is where many people are today. The soil of our lives is okay, it's just that it's full of thorns that are threatening to choke our Christianity out of existence. A thorn is anything that crowds Jesus out of your life. It may even be a beautiful flower like a, you know, with a rose on it. I mean, some thorn bushes are very attractive. It may be something seemingly harmless, even good. But is there something today that is choking out the best? Sometimes we get so busy with other things that we cannot be busy for Christ. Life so easily gets that way, doesn't it? Thorns grow up and threaten to choke us before we know it. Jesus actually named three of them, worries, riches, and pleasures. In Mark's Gospel, they're described as the cares of the world, a delight in riches, and a lust for other things. So caught up in the affairs of the world, so caught up in making a living for ourselves or making a name for ourselves that we are not making a life for ourselves, so weighed down, so consumed by the things of this life, that our relationship with God suffers. No time for prayer, no time for the Word of God, no time for fellowship, busy, busy, busy with other stuff, too busy to be a Christian. The cares of the world. The second thorn Jesus refers to is the love of money. Now, there's nothing wrong with money. I wish I had more of it to use, but I'd hate it to be using me. The desire to be rich has caused the spiritual demise of many a Christian through the years. The desire to live for God is so effectively smothered by the desire to accumulate wealth, always wanting more, always wanting better. No matter how strong we are, we cannot serve two masters. And not even the best of us can produce a crop of thorns and a crop of wheat at the same time. Jesus said you cannot serve God and money. What a wonderful thing money is when it's used to bless others, to give to others in their need, to help the mission of God in the world. What a dreadful thorn money can be when it's in control of our lives, in control of an unspiritual man or woman. I'd have to say I've watched so many men and women through the years who have become spiritually choked, deadened by their desire to accumulate wealth and things. Beware of that thorn. The third thorn is an inordinate love of pleasure and things. We're such an hedonistic society these days, are we not? Perhaps man has always been like that. God wants us to have lives that are filled with joy and contentment, but when the source of our joy is not Jesus, and the things that Jesus wants for our lives, we can find ourselves in trouble. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. We live in a pleasure-loving world. It's one of the signs of the end times. Are there some things that are choking your Christianity to death today? Be honest now. Be on the lookout always for thorns and weed them out while they're still tiny. Fourthly, then, we come to the good ground. All of the gospel writers, that is, all three of the Synoptic Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all explain who the good ground hearers are. In Matthew, they are those who understand the word. They hear it, believe it, and follow it through from beginning to end. In Mark, they are those who receive the word. They take it in, they absorb it, becomes part of them. They hold on to the word of life. Luke says they have a good and noble heart. They hear the word and they retain it. They keep it. Jesus says, whoever keeps my commandments, he it is who loves me. By persevering, these good soil hearers produce a good crop. They are the opposite of the shallow ground hearers, who are impulsive and impatient and soon fall away. Those who persevere to the end shall be saved, says the Bible. The true Christian doesn't expect a crop overnight. It takes time to mature. It's only as we remain in Christ and he remains in us that we will produce fruit that will abide for eternity to the glory of God. The genuine believer will keep on cultivating his heart through prayer and obedience. He will keep his eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Which of the ground represents you? Which kind of soil represents me? Usually all four kinds are present in every congregation of God's people, in every church family. You see, it is possible that your heart is growing hard, like the beaten track of the pathway. Is your faith resting more on emotions than convictions? Is your life filled with so many things that your spiritual vitality is being smothered? Or are you today growing in a deep and real relationship with Christ, bearing fruit that will last for eternity, trusting and following Jesus, bearing the fruit of a Christ-like character and the fruit of effective service? Let's bow together in prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you today that you speak to us so plainly through these timeless stories that Jesus told when he was on earth. We thank you for the story of the farmer who broadcast his seed, the different kinds of soil that that seed fell into, and for the salutary lesson that only if the seed of the Word of God falls into good soil will there be a harvest. Thank you that in every case the harvest will be good, plentiful, abundant. And this is your will for each of our lives today, that our lives may bear abundant fruit. And so help us, we pray, to take care of the soil of our hearts. Grant that we will not miss our quiet time day by day, our time of meditation in your word, our times of prayer, and grant that we may give ourselves wholeheartedly to your work, as we love our neighbor, as we love one another as you have loved us, as we minister in Jesus' name to those who are in need, as we share the gospel, as you give us opportunity to tell others the good news about Jesus. Grant, dear Lord, that we may always be tending the soil of our heart and ensuring that your word is taken in, that it's understood, and that it's obeyed. Thank you that it is your will that we be fruitful as well as faithful. And so we pray, Father God, that you would give us the grace to love you more perfectly, to follow you more faithfully, and to serve you more effectively, to the glory of Christ our Redeemer. And grant, dear Lord, that we too may take every opportunity to sow the seed of the gospel as you give us opportunity day by day. We thank you, Father, that today we can pray for one another, and I pray for those listening who may be in some particular need. And just thank you, Father, that you're able to meet us at the point of our need, whether it be spiritual, physical, financial, whatever that need may be, Father, we just pray that you would be gracious and grant our Father your divine touch, your blessing and provision for those who hear the gospel and receive it today. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Heavenly Father, the communion and comfort of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen. Thank you.
His face I at last shall see.